Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to It Passes the Eye Test edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Saturday night sure was fun for Alabama fans. 63 points, 9 touchdowns, 600 yards of offense, explosive plays, no points allowed, and similar to the student section, lots of good-looking youth, lots of eye candy. Meanwhile, the game was not without its blemishes. Week one, you know, after all. Last year, Alabama blew out MTSU 56-7 on the strength of a 5-touchdown quarterback day. Oddly specific stat count there, right? Let's break it down while not jumping to any conclusions. Offense, let's go. Jalen Milroe looked good. He looked smooth, in command, and comfortable. 5 total touchdowns, as we've alluded to, 3 passing, 2 rushing, same stat line as MTSU last year. But he looked at ease. That's the big differential. He looked at ease, smooth, in command, comfortable, not looking over his shoulder, not like he was playing with external fears or pressures or concerns. He was out there leading the team and looked very, very much in command. 7 of 9 passing, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, had a long of 84 yards, 0 interceptions. He had 10 carries for 79 yards, 2 touchdowns, had a long rush of 40. Again, just at ease, and he would tuck the ball and just take off, and he looked good doing it. There was one turnover on a bad snap. We can talk about that at the offensive line section. We can talk about it at the quarterback section. I'm going to talk about it under the quarterback section. It looked like, according to the coaching staff, that it was a little bit of miscommunication between the center and the quarterback. Parker Brailsford, the center, was pointing out a protection at the clap, and had to snap the ball, and so had a little more juice on it because of the circumstance. And so that becomes a point of communication between those two players. When the quarterback sees, and you never hear this sort of discussion because it's normally just sort of managed, but when the quarterback sees the center pointing out and calling over to his line mates, that's not when you snap the ball. That's not when you clap, unless you're running out on the time clock and you just have to. And that wasn't the circumstance here. Was it the center's fault? Yes. Was it the quarterback's fault? Yes. guests. And so there's, I think there's a little bit of responsibility to go around. If we want to call that a first game, I know there's flashbacks, right? So there's some drama or trauma that Alabama had, Alabama fans have around a snap that goes over the quarterback's head. Let's not go there. Let's not have sort of flashbacks in that regard. I think we're going to be okay. I think this is a game one, very easy to clean up factor. And so we'll see how that plays out. If we see this repeat next week, then we can change the tenor of the discussion on that. What I wanted to see, and this was part of the offensive preseason show, I wanted to see if Jalen Milroe could pick up where he left off around the Tennessee game last year. Did he kind of have to start the season over? Did he have to go back through some of the hard lessons learned early in the season? Or is he able to pick up around where the Tennessee game is? I would say that the Hilltoppers don't give enough resistance from a defensive standpoint for us to make a true assessment. But I'll say this, in terms of what we could observe, none of Milroe's passes were what I would consider exploratory. Let's just chunk a ball down the field and maybe get a 50-50 shot against a defensive back, maybe get a pass interference, at least stretch the defense a little bit, force them to play off the line. And worst case scenario, it's picked off, but not too dissimilar from a punt. There was none of those that I would categorize or file under exploratory passes. There were no unreasonably risky passes where he was trying to maybe put a ball where he shouldn't have been trying, where he was trying to throw through a window that's just maybe not what he needed to do at that particular moment. I didn't see any that were unreasonably risky, and I didn't see any just pure gaffes. I didn't see any what the hell passes. There was a couple interceptions against Texas that Milroe threw last year, and those were true what the hell. How do you not see that defender? TJ Finley had a couple of those, if you will, for the Hilltoppers, and I didn't see any of those from Milroe. I characterize that as progress. Those are visual evidence of progress. Anytime you're sort of changing a habit or changing a practice, changing a methodology, changing a process, you're going to see leading indicators and you're going to see lag indicators. And what we're seeing here are some leading indicators that the work is being done, and then we're going to see it sort of clean up over the course of the season with improved stat lines and improved play. We could reason that we saw some leading and lag indicators here. He wasn't throwing any what the hell, and there were no interceptions, and so we could characterize it that way. But what I think we saw on a limited sort of template of passes, it was only 7 of 9 opportunities, so 9 opportunities. What we saw is that Jalen played with a level, again, smooth, command, comfort. Those are leading indicators. And then as we start to see the game stack up where he continues to demonstrate that level of poise, then we'll see the lag indicators in terms of high yardage counts, high touchdown counts, low turnover counts, and then a string of high score games or productive scoring games. Again, it's hard to draw too many conclusions from the Hilltoppers because they just didn't offer enough resistance to see if we're drawing conclusions or we're just seeing the indicators. So we'll see how that plays out as the season progresses. Ty Simpson was 5 for 9, 66 yards passing, and then he was 2 rushes for 32 yards and a touchdown, and he looked comfortable. He looked like he was having fun out there. There was a smile on his face, and I don't think he smiled on the field last year. I do think there's horses for courses. Some players play better under different coaching styles, and I think Simpson played really tight under Saban, and there's been a lot of reports coming out of fall camp that Simpson was just playing loose. He was playing free, not loosey-goosey, but just playing with a relaxed demeanor, and I think we saw that Saturday. I think with his smiles, he looked like he was having fun out there. And we didn't see that until very, very late in the season last year. And so maybe he's sort of picking up where he left off. I predicted that he would more than double his stat line, which I can't immediately quote, but I think it was 22 receptions for 170-something yards. And so 5 receptions, is a quarter of that, and 66 is about a third of, not quite, well, yeah, roughly a third, about 170-something, 177 I think it is. And so 66, I'm rounding in my math, is about a third of that. And so he would certainly be on pace for those kinds of numbers. And we saw Dylan Lonergan come in, and I was very pleased to see him. I would have liked, you know, maybe Jalen play one less series and get everyone sort of pulled up one more series. Dylan did not have an opportunity to throw the ball at that point. I think passing the ball was off the table. I wonder if he could have come in one series earlier and maybe played two series. Would he have been able to get a pass off? I would have loved to just a short pass. Let's see him sort of let one loose. But he had one rush for 16 yards. He looked very athletic and mobile getting out of the pocket. And he had just a serious look about him. Ty Simpson looked comfortable, relaxed, at ease. And Dylan looked like he was out there trying to prove something. He played with a seriousness. At least that's in the expression that I saw just on the TV screen. I think Alabama coaching staff can build from this. I think there's a lot of good in the quarterback room. We saw Alabama fans. We saw a lot of good on the field from the quarterback position Saturday against the Tops. And I think this is a performance that the Alabama coaching staff can certainly build from. And as a fan, I look forward to that quite a lot. Let's talk about wide receivers. I think sometimes we go running back after quarterback, but let's go wide receivers since we're talking about quarterback and putting the ball in the air. 8 receivers caught passes, which is pretty significant when you consider the limited number of passes put up, that 8 different receivers would catch balls. That speaks to the depth. We didn't predict exactly that stat line, but we did say there might be 6 or 7 guys here that catch between 20 and 30 passes over the course of the season. And to get 8 receivers catching ball, I'm trying to look back at my notes. Milrow only threw 7 receptions, and for 8 receivers, and so Ty had a reception there as well. He had 5 of them. So a handful of guys caught more than one, but 8 different receivers catching the 12 passes. So that's pretty significant. Ryan Williams, of course, you know, is the headlight of the day. He's going to get all the game ball sort of notice. He's going to get all the headlines as well. He should. He's a 17-year-old guy, should be in high school. And wow, he caught only 2 passes. But those 2 passes were pretty big. They went for 139 and 2 touchdowns, which I think is a pretty significant play. He's dynamic. He's as dynamic as you could imagine. If you wanted to sort of pick on something, and everybody kind of wants to pick on something, you could pick on Milrow for where that one long touchdown was just a little bit underthrown, and Ryan had to sort of wait for that. And in that situation, there's so much green, there's so much grass, there's so much. Ryan Williams was so open that you want to sort of loft it up there a little bit. You don't want to overthrow him in that situation where there's so much green grass. If someone's in his hip pocket, then you overthrow it. Nobody catches it. You don't want to underthrow. But when it's so wide open, take just a little bit off of it. And if the receiver has to adjust back to the ball, that's fine. You're not going to you shouldn't underthrow it when there's a defender there. And if the defender's in the pocket, you might not throw that ball at all. But when the receiver is wide open, take that little extra comfort or that little extra precaution to allow it to be caught. And I think that's exactly what Milrow did. As much as you would think, well, let's goose that because it's a bad throw and let's poke him in the ribs for that, I might argue the other side, that that's exactly what he should have done in that situation to ensure that the receiver catches the ball. And now we've got an 84-yard touchdown, which is certainly exciting. Ryan Williams now has put opponents on notice that Alabama has a legit down-the-field threat. I think that's going to open up the run game, which we could argue that the running game sort of opened itself up, but it certainly will open up the underneath passing, and so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
There was a Jeremy Bernard sighting. He had one catch for 17 yards, looked good, very physical. He looked exactly like I would expect him to look, very athletic, very dynamic, going up and getting the ball, sort of a my ball mentality. I would have expected Jeremy to have more than just one pass, but I would have expected Milroe to complete more than, well, 7 of 9 statistically is a phenomenal number. I would have expected him to throw, maybe have that twice that, 14 for 18, and then there would have been sort of more opportunity. But it wasn't needed. Alabama put up the score that they did, and so a lot of passing attempts were not needed. I'm just saying I would have expected Jeremy to have a couple more receptions. Kendrick Law was 1 for 22, had his first collegiate touchdown. So congratulations to him. And Kobe Prentice, he was the relatively speaking, he was the ball hog. He had three receptions, 43 yards, so lower sort of average, but in sort of possession and moving the chains, Kobe was certainly available and a comfortable target for Milroe. So that's exciting to see. There's a number of other receivers that did catch balls, including Caleb Owens, Odom. And we looked for a lot of production out of this room. Again, it's directionally what we've predicted over the course of the season. Quite a number of guys getting passes, and we also said by the end of the season, Ryan Williams would be entrenched as a starter. He was one of the first three receivers on the field, and certainly didn't do anything Saturday for the coaches to change their decision there. His impact, his play, we've said it. We're going to repeat it because it's worthy of repeating. And what's interesting in all of the articles that's published, everyone sort of pats him on the back, which is appropriate, but no one talks about the impact of his play. The impact is it's not only a downfield threat, but it's going to open up the underneath and it's going to open up the running game against other opponents. So Coach DeBoer said, "Hey, we've put stuff on film," and he's talking about coaching, using things that happened Saturday as coaching vehicles for the team, and that's certainly 100% true. But now Ryan Williams is on film, and other teams have to sort that out. And I'm sure other teams have already sort of scratched their head and said, "I wasn't hoping he would be that good that quick. So we'll see how that plays out. The running back room, holy cow, better than advertised. I will say that. I thought the Alabama running back combination 1-2 had an opportunity to be one of the best in the certainly the conference. I think the nation, and all they did is go out and say that maybe I underclubbed. I think the running back room was better than even I anticipated. I get maybe we played a paper tiger in the toppers, but the talent coming out of that running back room was pretty dang impressive. Justice Haynes, again, of course, is going to get all the headlines. He had four carries for 102 yards. He had a long of 85 yards, resulting in a touchdown, and he looked spectacular doing that. It was just a run up the middle. We're going to talk about the offensive line, but it was just a run up the middle, and then he made a cut to the outside, and it was off to the races. And the guy got him, just tripped him up at the end zone, so he was down on the ground in the end zone, but it was after an 85-yard run, and it took all that they had to track him down. Jam Miller, he looked spectacular. Again, he didn't have quite the dynamic long run, but he had five carries for 54 yards, an incredible average, almost 11 per carry. He also had a touchdown with a long of 39, so he too had a long touchdown scamper. Not quite 85, but certainly 39 is a long run from the running back position. And so when you can strike from the running back position from a distance, boy, that's scary. And then when you can also do that in the passing game, boy, that's scary. You have to decide what to defend. And Alabama demonstrated, at least against the Hilltoppers, but that they have a variety of weapons to defend. So that'll be interesting to see how that storyline plays out over the next couple of games. Daniel Hill had nine carries. He was actually the leading carrier, ball carrier, in terms of totes for 29 yards. He had a touchdown. He had a long of 11. That's his first collegiate touchdown. And Daniel Hill is a player that was a little bit banged up, and I was surprised that I thought he might miss a portion of the season. So the fact that when he came in as the third running back, I was very pleased. And then to receive, again, nine carries is not a big number, but of the other running backs, that's more than the others. So and in fact, that's more than that equals Justice and Jam, their total carries. Now, these are carries, not plays. But still, the fact that Daniel Hill, who has missed time with injury, had as many carries as Jam and Justice combined, that's pretty impressive. Again, the stat line there, just over three, but he had a touchdown and a long of 11. And he had some of those carries sort of late in the game when we were just sort of running out the clock. Kevin Riley, he looked electric. Seven carries for 26 yards. So the numbers aren't super dynamic there. But he looked incredibly fast at the point of attack. He's going to be an interesting one to see how he develops. And I don't want to use the word disappointing, but Richard Young didn't break out or burst out like I was hoping that he would. He had six carries for only 8 yards. And again, Richard Young is an incredibly dynamic running back. I think he's the third best back in the room, and I think he can compete for higher real estate than that. During A-Day, he had the best single run of the day. I'm not saying the longest. I'm just saying the most dynamic run of the day. And so he is incredibly talented, given more opportunities, given more carries. We're going to see Richard Young have incredible days as well. Let's talk about the offensive line. You don't have stout numbers from the running back position, or really most any of the positions, without sort of the tip of the cap to the offensive line. And this is a unit that overcame, overcame an adversity even before the game started. Kalen Proctor, starting left tackle, was sort of lost to injury during the warmups. At the time of this recording, I've not heard specifically. I know that there's an MRI, or I understand there's an MRI scheduled for Sunday. You have to be somebody to get that, right? And nonetheless, Kalen Proctor. So those results may well be published by the time I'm recording this, but here I am recording and not reading published MRI reports. Hopefully he's back soon and doesn't really miss any additional time, because I think he's going to be a linchpin across the offensive line for the duration of the season. But in terms of Saturday, Elijah Pritchard stepped in, and I thought he performed admirably at the left tackle position. DeBoer made a point of sort of explaining that throughout fall camp, not spring, but throughout fall camp, Elijah Pritchard had been competing at the right tackle spot. So he's not taking any snaps at left tackle during fall camp. I don't know if that's 100% true, because it seemed like there were some reports that maybe he had gotten some snaps. But the point is, it wouldn't have been many, because he was competing against Wilkin Formby for the right tackle spot, and Caden sort of took over the left tackle position as soon as he was back. And so in the midst of warmups, Elijah Pritchard, who likely wasn't going to start at all, now had to start at a position that he's not practiced at or not practiced at materially for months since spring. And so in that context, I think he played admirably. There were a couple times I thought he blocked really well. A couple times I thought, you know, he got beat, which has kind of been his MO. But if he is back in the position next week and the week after, well, I wouldn't be pleased with that, because that meant that Caden was injured and not coming back from that injury. But I'm also convinced that Elijah Pritchard would be better and then better and then better with more time at that position and in more sort of hands-on coaching at that position. Tyler Booker, speaking of adversity across the offensive line, Tyler Booker and Parker Brailsford, their helmets came off on the same play. And hey, this gets some chin straps. Surely there's a manager in there somewhere that can assist in that space. But they both pop a lid on the same play, so they both have to sit out. I only saw, I only saw Parker Brailsford have to step out, and Gino Vandermark came in and snapped. And but apparently Booker was also, and so, you know, as Coach DeBoer indicated, just very early into the game, we've got center, left guard, left tackle that are three players different than what we intended to start the game with. And I think the offensive line played well, considering. If you didn't know, you wouldn't have known, which I think is how you want those things to go. Gino Vandermark came in at the center position. Interestingly enough, I saw Gino in for Jaden Roberts, at least for a series, a couple of plays, and then Roberts was back in. So at one point I was very concerned, how many injuries are we accruing across the offensive line? I know that Jaden had some surgery late in fall camp, and so he may have been on a pitch count. But nonetheless, Vandermark came in, played a little bit at center, maybe just one snap at center and a couple three snaps at the right guard position. And then when we look through sort of the play count, how many plays did these individual players play? Interestingly enough, Gino Vandermark only played four snaps. And so you would think, I would have guessed that he would have played probably center, but he would have played somewhere with the number twos when they came in. And it appears that he did not. And so then my head goes, well, did he get hurt? And so we'll find out more about that. I saw zero reporting or zero even remark that, no pun intended, that Vandermark didn't play any more snaps than he did. So no commentary on that. It strikes me as funny. So we'll see, maybe as additional reporting or additional interviews come out, if anything is denoted there, and we'll see. And then Wilkin Formby, I thought he looked as good as I thought he was going to look, which is to say very, very steady. He's very, very physical. And I thought he looked very fluid at the tackle position and just consistent. I think that's what won him the job over Pritchett, is Formby's consistency and his certainly his knowledge of the playbook. We did talk about Jaden Roberts and Tyler Booker, but one thing I want to call out is they both pulled to the left on Milroe's opening touchdown. And so Milroe went around the corner. It was definitely a design run. The two big guards, and they've lost some weight, and so I think pulling is going to be a standard part of their play. And boy, they really paved the course to get Milroe into the end zone. There were multiple tandem pulls. I saw a tackle, I want to say it was a tackle on a guard, sort of going the other way at another point in the game. And I wasn't watching all of the line play, but there were multiple sort of pulls, and I thought the line looked very athletic in doing that. So very physical bunch. And this is a unit that's going to improve week over week over week. When they get more and more reps playing as a single unit, almost as a single person, but as a singular sort of unit, then their performance will get better and better. And then the output that the offense is able to achieve as a result will be better and better and better. Let's go mini game ball. And I'm giving my mini game ball For all the reasons I've talked about, I haven't given my mini game ball to the offensive line, sort of overcoming the mayhem that they had. It's hard to call out an individual player because there was so much mayhem that so many players had to sort of spackle it over. I thought the offensive line did very, very well. And not letting that become an issue, not letting that become an excuse for other units or other portions of the offense. They basically rose up to the occasion and said, we have it. Everyone do your job. We've got ours covered, and we're going to have a successful day. And indeed, they did. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, check out part two. And in the meantime, leave us a 5-star review. And until next time, roll tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a roll tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the tide. Got that, coach? Of course, roll tide.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.